I'm Dr. Joyce Starr, and welcome to Rights Radio, brought to you by RightsRadio.com, StarPublishing.com, and StarPublications.com. That's Star with two R's. My guest today is attorney Evan Rosen, an expert on everything you need to know about foreclosures. Hello, Evan. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Evan, could you share some background with our listeners?
I've been practicing law since 1997. It was at that time that my father and myself started the law firm of Rosen & Rosen. I practiced primarily in foreclosure defense, bankruptcy, debt defense, and real estate. And my father handles the firm's personal injury, workers' compensation, and medical malpractice cases. There's a handful of other lawyers here with us, support staff, paralegals. And we really try and focus on service. We have this kind of mantra or internal motto that we really firmly believe in our heart, as long as we do a great job for people, everything else follows from there. So that's how we try and attack our clients' issues and redress their causes of action, and whether it be in litigation or pre-litigation scenarios. So that's our driving focus, always. We really try and focus on that and really allow everything to take its natural course from that vantage.
We want to talk today about the foreclosure crisis, and you are one of the few attorneys in Florida who really work so hard on behalf of the client and the individual who's going through foreclosure. You're not part of one of those mills. You're very hands-on and sensitive to the needs of your client. I wonder if you might be able to give us some background on the foreclosure crisis. How bad is it today, and why is it so backed up?
Where we are today is there is a slightly shrinking backlog. The state had a fund of about $6 million that ran out in the end of June, and that fund was primarily for retired judges to come out of retirement and to help clear the backlog. And those retired judges cleared out about 200,000 foreclosure cases. We're left statewide approximately about 260,000 or so cases. That's a report coming from the Office of the State Courts Administrator as of June, and that was a 43% reduction from the prior year. But what we're seeing is that the backlog is not all good. I was in Palm Beach County yesterday on a case where a client was foreclosed upon about 11 months ago, and she came to me looking at filing bankruptcy, and I pulled up her court records, and I had a courier go down to the courthouse just to take a quick peek at what had been done. Sure enough, the original lender in that case was not the plaintiff, and the note for the original lender was not endorsed. So there had been no transfer from the original lender to the plaintiff whatsoever, which means that the plaintiff and the defendant, my client, had no relationship. There was no nexus. There was nothing connecting those two people, yet a court order was entered 11 months ago that said that that particular entity was entitled to foreclose and take away her property. And it's outrageous.
How could that be?
Exactly. It wasn't even robo-sign. The only robo-signer, arguably, in that case was the judge, because that should have been very clear to someone who signed that order that something wasn't right. So we went down there ready to go, and some judges require what's called a special set hearing, and some judges require where you can have the case heard on regular what's called motion calendar. So we were told in advance that this is a motion calendar issue, don't special set it. I drive up there, have my hearing, and the judge says, no, I can't hear this on motion calendar, you have to special set it. So wouldn't rule. As clear as this issue was, wouldn't rule, and opposing counsel, not surprising, was a mill attorney, had never seen the file before that morning, never knew anything about the case. In an effort and good faith, we had tried to work it out before even setting the hearing, and we tried to work it out again in the morning, saying, look how clear this is. I'm surprised the bank in that case isn't happy that I'm pointing this out, because when they eventually go to sell the property, they're going to have major title problems. There's no clear chain of title as to how this new entity all of a sudden owns the property when there's nothing documenting anything to show how they were even entitled to file a lawsuit against this particular defendant or prevail in a lawsuit. So that's an example of the kind of gray area or the kind of what we call shadow inventory, and even here a shadow backlog of cases. So this is a case that allegedly was resolved. Allegedly, we're working down the backlog, but here's an example of one that was worked out. The reports and the statistics indicate that it was worked out, but it wasn't.
What happens to her now?
We're going to have it special set. We got a court date this morning for October 3rd is the soonest special set court date. We're prepared to go back to court if we don't have it resolved before then to have the judgment canceled, to have the sale canceled. There's a certificate of title that was issued to the bank, have that canceled, and turn back the clock, and then we can relitigate this thing and eventually either prevail at trial and let the real plaintiff come forward, if ever. So that's what happens.
This woman has really been going through quite a lot, hasn't she?
Absolutely. This is a woman who has a son that has some health issues. We try to take a position with our cases that it's not about so much what the defendant has or doesn't have. I'm not going to court to say, look, Your Honor, my client needs help. And I hear lawyers do that. I hear defendants do that all the time. And to me, that's irrelevant. Just like I don't go to court and say, look how many billions of dollars the bank has, so therefore they don't need a little more money. That's not what this is about. This is about taking real estate and getting judgments against people that you're not entitled to get real estate from. And this is still the United States of America. Do we still have a court system? And no one should be allowed to take someone's property in this country, or any country, without showing some entity that they're entitled to do so.
This woman, I assume, owed money on her property. She wasn't paying her mortgage and thus the foreclosure?
That's correct. No dispute on that.
All right. That's so correct. She, in fact, under normal circumstances, could have had her property taken by those who owned the mortgage, but they didn't choose to do so. Why?
That's correct. You know, there's been a horrific rush to profit over the last 10 years or more in the real estate industry. We know all about the boom and the bust. And that rush to profit led to unbelievable sloppy practices. There was just a new lawsuit announced today on behalf of American Home Mortgage Servicing against Lender Processing Services, because now the servicers who hired these document creation companies. I mean, if that doesn't tell you right there that something's wrong, why do we need to have these multi-million dollar corporations? All they do is generate documents. If real estate transactions happen properly, the documents would just follow naturally from those transactions. You wouldn't need a company, and there's more than one, there's handfuls of these multi-million dollar companies that sit around and generate documents in order to prove what's called standing, in order to prove that they're entitled to foreclose. So for whatever reason, somewhere behind the paper trail that never existed, there was possibly an electronic transfer where the plaintiff in the lawsuit that we're talking about with this client, and this is just one example of many similar type scenarios, somewhere there was arguably some transaction that took place. We know about MERS, Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, which was designed to basically eliminate paperwork. However, there was no legislative body that overruled the long existing history of real estate law that said, no, it's not electronic, it's paper and ink. And MERS was set up primarily as a way to avoid paying recording fees. There was millions and millions of dollars across the country that these banks were having to pay every time they wanted to record a mortgage and transfer from one entity to another. And this really became complicated and more costly during what's called the securitization process. Now it's not just transferring from the original lender to some other investor. Now it's transferring 3 to 4 times up a ladder into a what's called a REMIC, a real estate mortgage investment conduit, which is a tax shelter conduit where you can pool mortgages together. If it's done properly, you don't pay any tax. Investors can purchase shares of ownership into this REMIC, the conduit, and then they derive profits or return on their investment, and they pay tax on those returns. So this whole process required a lot of paperwork if it was done properly. I believe it was J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the founders of MERS, and a handful of other banks got together. They actually had a meeting with the county recording people, a commission of county recorders, and they all said this is not a good idea. And MERS went ahead and did it anyway.